Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. Do you like your neighbor? Do you even know your neighbor? If your neighbor was in trouble, would you help that neighbor? Such questions can help lead us into a passionate and helpful discussion, including on who exactly is our neighbor, how far do we have to go to help our neighbor, and why do we want to do such? Our Lord Jesus, He knows what we need individually and as a society when it comes to relationships. And so let's get to what He has to say. I invite your attention to our invocation on page 3. My soul finds rest in God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation.
He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. My salvation and my honor depend on God.
He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times, O people. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God for his amazing grace.
Please be seated. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Holy Scripture, Deuteronomy 24, reminding us that we do have a responsibility to look out for others. Now, how that looks for each of us may be different. We hear this example. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, Do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. The word of the Lord. Important words to remember. Obviously, they're from our Lord, but not just to remember, but also to put into practice. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. We join together. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Not only the question, are you being a good neighbor, but how do you define your answer of being a good neighbor? On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Grace and peace remain yours, thankfully, in great abundance from God our Father. And this comes to us through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to the Gospel of Luke, where we hear these words, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, by that rock and that redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think there should be an application process that people who are moving into our neighborhood ought to go through before they can move in. We could assign a few of the neighbors that have lived there for a while to be on the review committee. And if they pass the application test, well, then they can move into that house and into our neighborhood. While we don't do background checks on our neighbors, well, at least some of us don't, we do want to get to know our neighbors, what they're about, where they work, and so forth, what they're up to. Now, we could be neighborly and introduce ourselves to them and even offer them a welcome gift, but that's really no fun. It's really better to spy on them, to use our camera system or someone else's camera system to Google them, check out their social media page. Or we could just ignore them all together and not even recognize the fact that we have neighbors, let alone new neighbors. It's not just people who are in our neighborhood that are to be our neighbor, and Jesus makes this point clear. It's all people really are to be considered as our neighbor. And so Jesus raises good questions, not only for that expert in the law to examine, but also for us still today when it comes to who is our neighbor, especially as our environment is seemingly getting more hostile. And so the advice that Jesus gives to this expert in the law, that advice applies to you and me, and in essence, it can be summed up in these words: go and do likewise. Go and be a neighbor, a loving neighbor. The expert in the law, we are told, wanted to test Jesus, and the question may have been innocently asked, or maybe he was looking for a way to trap Jesus. We're not told the exact motive of the question, but it is an interesting question. Starts off with, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's a lot of fault in that question, isn't there? It's a natural question. We feel like we have to do something, and even as Christians, we can struggle with what we think we have to do to earn God's favor. And oftentimes we'll think, well, God's got to be patting me on the back for that good work. But there are no brownie points that we can earn or need to earn. The other part of that question that seems interesting to me at least is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, he was concerned about the afterlife, where he was going to spend eternity. Do people today even care about eternity? I mean, we got people openly put on commercials on TV or in the newspaper saying, I'm an atheist and proud of it, and I'm ready to burn in hell. But I'm sure there were people then too, most likely, who weren't concerned about eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus responds by saying, well, what do you think? What does the law say? Let's go back to the Word of God. Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself. Dang, you got the answer right. Partially. We are to love God with a total commitment, 100% love, absolute perfection. Nothing less will do. And we can also show our love for God, a total commitment love, by also loving our neighbor with absolute perfection. Something we cannot do, though, but still demanded of us. I mean, we do understand the concept. I mean, if someone at work is not doing their job, either they get fired, They get let go. They have to be held accountable. You're not doing the job. But we expect less of God. We're not living up to God's standards, and we expect God to look the other way, to still get that paycheck. Don't worry about it, God. Look at some of the good things I have done. But God demands perfection. Be perfect as He is perfect. Nothing less will do. Think of Cain, too, when he offered his offering and it wasn't acceptable. Well, what do you want from me, God? How many of us have a similar attitude? What do you want from us, God? Isn't this good enough? I've given you 50% today. But God wants 100%. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Not just some of it. And not just on Sundays, 7 days a week, 24/7. Those first three commandments are so vital in establishing our relationship with God, how to maintain that, to show our love for Him. And then 4 through 10 just emphasize all the more our love for God by how we can show love for our neighbor. Well, the expert in the law wanted to justify his answer. He's feeling pretty good. Well, who exactly is my neighbor? He had an answer in his own mind, and we do too. So Jesus goes into an example of who our neighbor is with that Good Samaritan illustration. It wasn't uncommon for a person on the route that Jesus emphasizes to have something bad happen. And then he points out two people who should have known better, who should have been showing the love of God as they claim to know the love of God, being in the Word themselves in one way or another, walked by, did not offer to help. But then this Samaritan, people that the Jews hated, he risked his life and was willing to help this person who was hurting. So not only did he put his own life in jeopardy, he even opened up his wallet. A couple days' wages and more if necessary to help get this person back on their feet. So who really is the neighbor? The one who should know better but didn't do anything, or the one who was hated and yet did something? Well, the expert in the law even recognized the one who showed mercy is the neighbor. So Jesus says, go and do likewise. Don't look for excuses. Go and act. But do we find ourselves, when it comes to even saying hi to a neighbor, well, they didn't say hi to me first, or they're really not the best of neighbors, they don't keep up their yard, or it might be in society, we don't really see eye to eye, they don't look like us, they don't act like us. Do we find ourselves coming up with excuses to not be neighborly? It is an opportunity to examine our own hearts and see where we fall short of being the people that God wants us to be. To love Him with our entire being and to also love one another. I mean, isn't that what our world really wants? Love? But it won't have it its own way. It only can come God's way. And Jesus knows this, thus the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, go and be salt and light in this world. Be kind and compassionate and forgiving and on and on. But as we are those things, let's not be busy patting ourselves on the back, because it's not our works that save us. So again, back to that point with that question, what must I do? Recognize that we are saved by grace, not by our works. So remember then the role of faith and works. Go and do likewise. Be a loving neighbor, but also go and remember the role of faith and works. We are saved by faith alone. That thinking that we have to do something in order to please God is faulty thinking and dangerous thinking. And Jesus points that out to this expert in the law. But again, how many people outside and inside the church struggle with the role of faith and works? How many religions are built on the role of works taking front and center place, and faith is pushed into the background? Faith is the key, dear friend. So the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, that's not just a Lutheran thing. That's a God thing. That's a Bible thing. And God help us as Christian Lutherans hold on to this God teaching that we are saved by grace through faith. Now, works do have a role. They do provide evidence. Romans 10 reminds us it's with our heart that we believe, but it's through our mouth and through our actions that we give evidence of what is in our heart. Are we truly being a loving neighbor? We may say so in our heart, but do our words and our actions verify what we say is in our heart? Or do we put exceptions in there? Now, again, our desire to help our neighbor is what's necessary, the attitude. We want to be willing to help our neighbor, to not make it conditional, but rather unconditional. But we also have to recognize there are some situations where we will not be able to carry out that desire in and of ourselves. And so God surrounds us with other opportunities to still be neighborly to our neighbor, whoever that neighbor might be. I mean, God's given us a brain. He gives us common sense. If we're out on a dark, curvy road and the wind is blowing and so forth, and a stranger flags us down, well, today we're blessed with technology. And maybe you're in a no cell coverage area. Well, maybe depending on your circumstance, you can't stop, but you can go down the road and either find cell coverage or stop somewhere to have them call. It's that we don't use an excuse to say, well, it's not my problem. Other ways that we can show compassion, to be a neighbor, to express that willingness in our heart to be neighborly. Well, the blood drives. We definitely need blood in our community for our hospitals and so forth. But then again, maybe you're not able to give blood for one reason or another. But you can help encourage others who can, or you can volunteer. Food drives, food pantries, right? Another way that we can be neighborly. Maybe you can't serve at the soup kitchen. That's okay. Right, sometimes we put the pressure on ourselves or on others that if you don't do it exactly this way, then you're not as good of a Christian as I am or somebody else. Whether you serve the food or give the food, motivated by the love of Christ, it's a good deed. Or maybe it's someone at the restaurant, the person who's waiting on you. Maybe they reveal a little tip that they're not doing so well. So maybe you can leave a little extra tip. I mean, there are so many ways for us to be neighborly without looking for the credit. It's not about what we get credit for. It's about giving glory to God. So God help us always remain a willingness to be neighborly And then help us think through ways that we can be neighborly, whether that be directly or indirectly. Again, giving all glory to God. And to help us go and do likewise, to love our neighbor, remembering, though, at the same time, the role of faith and works. That's what a child of God truly is, a Christian. Not concerned about us, but about God. Not looking at what we need to do, but rather what God already has done for us through Jesus. And what has He done for us? All the times that we are busy patting ourselves on the back, all the times that we have failed to be neighborly and let the excuses get the best of us, what did God in love do for us? Unconditionally, He sent His own Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so all those sins that we have committed have been washed clean, not to be held against us, so that we are in a position to be neighborly, to love God as He wants us to love Him, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so God, help us recognize then again who is our neighbor. Galatians, Jesus reminds us by inspiration that there is no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male nor female. Let's not get caught up in the color of skin or whether their politics are different from us. God, help us show the love of God and be neighborly. Now, do you struggle with self-righteousness? Trying to find ways for God to accept you by what you do? Or do you struggle from feelings of unworthiness? How could God really ever love me? Well, God, help us avoid either ditch and continue walking on the road which reminds us, which points out that we are saved by grace through faith. A grace and a faith which is centered on, founded in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And with Christ in us and Christ for us working in us, we can go and do likewise. We can be that loving neighbor right here in our church, in our community, throughout the world. At the same time, remembering the role of faith and the role of works. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn now to a confession of faith, the Nicene Creed. It's found for us on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We turn now to the prayer of the church. We pray, Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son. O Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise you for offering yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross, you declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, you assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God. Holy Spirit, blessed Counselor, use your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness, including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us by your gospel and encourage us to be faithful, fervent witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Lord, continue to refresh the bodies and minds of Homer Carson and Arnold Detmer, who continue to be in need of medical assistance. Not only refresh their bodies as you will for them, above all, continue to refresh their faith with the reminder that these health challenges are temporary and do not change their status with you through Jesus. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep your love for each of them at the forefront of their marriage, which then opens up opportunities to reflect that love. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and in joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this holy supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Note about Bible studies taking place. Bible study today here in the church proper. We'll be continuing our look at the Gospel of Luke. Our family Bible hour will continue as well for our families. You can go to the Luther room. That'll begin at 9:15. The study of Luke here begins at 9:30. And then on Thursday, we have our Digging Deeper study that begins at 6:30. It's in person in the Luther room, or you can join us by Zoom. If you want to have that link, you just contact me and I'll send you the link in the materials. We have school registration this coming Thursday, so families, be aware of that. On next Sunday, we have a Connect event, sand volleyball at 3:30. More details to follow in the weekly news and on the Connect Facebook page, but again, keep that in mind. Campus Freshen Up Day on August 13th, the Saturday. If we could have as many hands as possible, that'd be great, even if it's for 30 minutes. Just again, there's weeds, windows, you name it. We're spreading playground mulch, so just different things if you can provide that. If you can't make that Saturday, but you want to look for something to do, take on a flower bed, just contact us and we'll arrange for that and track it. Other than that, just see the weekly news for other things that are going on. Have a great day in the Lord and the Lord's blessings on your showing love to your neighbor, whoever that might be this week. Thank you.